Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the Junks. We're live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We'll be joined in about 20 minutes or so by Pete Haley, covers the Washington football team for NBC Sports Washington. Head coach Ron Rivera, he's looming. He's coming up at 8:25, so you don't want to miss that. And Gary Williams slated for 9:20, but right now it is prime skins hitting time.
Nice.
And of course, we're still waiting for somebody to call in who hits the skins during the hit the skins segment.
I know it's happened.
Just hasn't happened.
Well, especially since we've talked about it, we're making it a thing. I mean, there are guys out there efforting.
It is the ultimate aphrodisiac. Talking about the Washington football team. Everybody
we need
knows
a couple
that.
To call in. And then, like, some sort of picture that they send a Drabby that they're in the sack.
You know, call in mid-coitus.
Yes.
Or maybe, you know, smoking cigarettes afterwards, because that's what we all do.
In bed.
Yeah. Right.
You know, but you don't show anything, you know, but just...
Yeah, kind of like your Porky Pig picture.
Right.
You don't have to show everything,
that picture
but...
had a lot of traction on this.
We just need confirmation... That
my
somebody
ass
out there
flat in the chair. I was a little disappointed.
Then what are you going to do?
Well, hey, I don't know how to make your ass look good in a chair.
How flattering is it going to be when you're sitting in a chair? When
better
you're
to see
no
that
pants.
than the thimble.
No, the thimble was.
Like if you had a slip up.
It was staggering.
Somebody tweeted.
It was staggering.
Somebody tweeted, EB's got to watch when he gets up. But the cameras, as long as the NBC Sports Washington is doing their job and shutting off the cameras when we go to commercial break, nobody should see you get up.
I was aware of that. I still... When I had to go like get a drink or something, I still put my pants on sitting.
Right.
Uh-huh. Because, you know, I didn't even want the camera guy to see my thimble.
Were they?
I mean, that thimble was unbelievable.
Sure, man.
Usually I'm not a thimble guy. Yeah. Usually I hang pretty good. Yesterday was not.
By the way, I saw just a gross picture of Peter from Burke. So, Bit Season Boys, can you explain this? Drabin Valdez, they... talked about still barking, and they wanted to have a hashtag still pooping.
We thought it would be a funny viral bit for all of our biddies out there.
It's the grossest thing I've ever seen.
To take a picture of the book in the bathroom because we figured
people are dropping a
juice. Because we figured that's great poop material.
I know one guy that JP gave a book to that told me it's going to be in his bathroom.
That's fine.
So we said take a picture of the book while you're
on the
commode.
It's the grossest picture I've ever seen. Peter from Burke, of course, did it.
He did it.
And you see the book right between his little skinny legs.
Yeah, I didn't need to see the pants on the ground.
Yeah, pants on the ground. It's gross. Hashtag
see,
still
the only
pooping.
One that sent the picture.
That's the one I've seen.
It could go viral, though. I do like the idea. That could work. All right, so Jason talked about it. Washington football team received better than expected news on tight end Logan Thomas on his left knee. Coach Rivera talked about it yesterday, said the MRI revealed that he didn't tear his ACL, as was originally feared, but that there was some damage to the knee for sure. Originally, they had feared that he tore both his ACL and MCL. So I don't think he's going to be able to come back because there is damage there. That's not something that I think is going to heal overnight. Mm-hmm. But it's huge in terms of not necessarily needing off-season surgery, which just is, could really, really extend into next season.
I would
season.
Think he probably misses the rest of the regular
I
season.
I would think he's done. Yeah,
no, playoffs,
maybe a playoff
yeah, what
run?
About in time
maybe.
For playoffs?
Yeah, maybe yeah. in time for playoffs. That would be
maybe what about in time has, for like, golf season, Valdez?
Yeah, oh, it'll definitely be good for that.
Yeah, you need to you know what? You should text him today. You should text him today and try to get him on the show and feign interest in him and then try to get him on the show.
Well, it's Tuesday, right? Don't they have off today? I know he likes to get Sice to sleep in.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Text him later.
I'll text him later after
the
show.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be a good idea.
Maybe I'll ask him about golf, some sort of golf-related question, and then slip
in. Yeah, he's had enough the questions.
Right.
Like, you know what? Ask him if he wants to be – maybe you've already asked him if he wants to be in the Slider Cup next year for our golf pool.
What is the Slider Cup?
It's our golf pool.
Oh, that's what you call it.
He might be sized for that.
He definitely would be sized.
I know
him and all of his boys are in like a 14-person text thread picking golfers every week.
That's the way you go.
I'm still a little bitter that Dylan and I didn't take down that confidence pool. I think we missed by 3 points.
Yeah.
So it was a tiebreaker.
You lost on the tiebreaker.
Over $1,000 in this pool. They had a tiebreaker where you had to pick the championship games. And then we were tied for first, and there was another tiebreaker, and I think we took 79 points. The other guy took like 59, and it fell at 66. So we really missed by 3 points.
Correct. That's the way it goes. You know what? Maybe next year.
So we always like to get into players and coaches' pockets and how they're doing.
That.
And we've talked about how Taylor Heinicke is just cashing in here because in the future he's going, you know, he's proven he could be in this league for 10 years
and he's getting bonuses every week,
and he's getting bonuses.
Adam Schefter win bonuses?
Reported that for every Washington win where Heinicke starts and plays at least 60% of the snaps,
which he's doing every game so far,
you know, knock on wood.
Yeah,
can I guess
the bonus that he gets?
Yeah. Sure.
For every dub,
this is probably way overblown.
Right, you guess, and I'm going to guess after.
I'm going to $200,000.
Oh, that's way too high.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say.
I said it was going to be too high.
Think about it. Imagine if you had 10 wins.
I'm going to say it's $20,000.
No,
I kind of leaning towards Jason. I thought I saw it at one point, but I didn't see Schefter's article. I saw this earlier this season. I almost thought it was like $300,000.
No, he gets $125K every day.
Okay, wow. $125.
His regular salary, and then he's clocking $125,000.
So every time he wins, he's walking into the locker room going, "Money, money." I'm going $125.
I hope he gave a nice little handshake to Brian Johnson.
Exactly. Yeah, give it to the kicker.
Probably should. Yeah,
so he's made three quarters.
Tip him like five or ten.
He's made $750,000 in bonuses.
Well, this win streak alone has made him $500,000.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No. He's got $750,000 in bonuses.
Good for him.
That's nice.
That's great.
Well, that's just that bonus.
What does that word mean again? Bonus? It's additional to your
pay. Hey, we're trending back towards it, Cakes.
I've forgotten what that word actually signifies.
Don't give up. We're trending back towards them.
If we ever get one again, I'll be very happy. I'm pessimistic.
Yeah, you know what? I might actually start running some numbers because we got like an average thing. This is a whole inside.
Of numbers. I'm just,
nobody cares. Listen, Heinicke so far, JP mentioned he's made $750K, right?
And let me go on record. I care more about my bonuses than Taylor Heinicke's.
Yeah, he cares.
We do, but our listeners don't.
Okay, I kind of envy that. I envy that. Okay, that story.
Bulletin for the listeners. You should care more about our bonuses than Taylor Heinicke's bonuses. Just
all right, so
you know.
Taylor signed a two-year, $4.75 million contract. I mean, total bargain. Only $1.5 million of that is guaranteed. So, for sure now, so if you pick $1.5 million, I think that's over the 2 years.
I hope he's a squeak-squeak. I hope he's a squeak-squeak.
I mean, he kind of is, and he's sleeping on his sister's couch.
I don't think he's sleeping there anymore.
Probably cash. I would guess smart with his money.
Yeah.
If he's smart.
Probably has a money condo in Ashburn.
He's a math guy.
In a condo somewhere like, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, like Leesburg or Ashburn.
Yeah, that's probably where he is.
He's rent now.
He's
and
renting.
Then when you really hit the mother load, that's when you build your silly dream home, wherever that is.
Yeah.
Someplace on the water, hopefully.
Oh, definitely on the water.
Right,
it's gotta be.
How was your real estate hunting yesterday?
It was good. My buddy, who's the assistant basketball coach at Howard, he was at Notre Dame for 20 years, and he's moving his family here. Went around, saw some neighborhoods, went to
That's a big move, because they've been in South Bend for, what, 20 years? I mean,
20 years.
Been there a long time.
What sucks for him is his family's still in South Bend, because the kids are going to finish out the school year.
Right.
So he doesn't even see his family hardly ever, but took him to the high school that my girls went to, and he liked it, and met the AD, and so it's...
Why is he locking in on Loudoun County, Ashburn? I need to call him.
Schools.
I need to call him. Come over to the Bethesda area, Kensington.
Montgomery County is the worst county in the
country.
That's
true. That is true.
I mean, come on. He's
you know
not going
what?
There.
I take it back.
Yeah. He did look at Kensington.
He did?
I said,
I'm going to back Montgomery County because every time you say it, you just slander it. It's a great county.
No, okay. No, no.
Has some of the best schools in the country, hands down.
You know what? More expensive.
I'm not going to go great. I'm going to say pretty good.
More expensive.
I'm not going to say
they have good schools, but everything else is a disaster. You know
I'm
what?
Sure.
He's making a good choice.
Well, we'll see.
He's making a good choice.
We'll see where he goes.
Good recruiting
anyway.
By you.
Yeah, I already gave it up.
He doesn't care about that.
Yeah, believe me.
He doesn't care about
you can find good schools anywhere.
Right.
Where he should live is in the city. Like Northwest D.C. in the
right,
nice areas.
Because that's cheap.
I understand it's not cheap, right, but
he's not
close.
Making Notre Dame money anymore.
Wouldn't you want to be close to your work?
No.
No. He wants his kids to go to really good schools, and he wants a bigger home.
I think the days of living in the cities, that's passe right now.
He doesn't want his car stolen every week.
Yeah, I think you want to move out of the city. I wouldn't move into the cities. I'd move out of the city.
Well, anyway.
Right now.
That's another discussion.
Let's go through the grades, the PFF grades. I love that, Lurch.
All right.
Who do you think was
I know who got the highest grade.
Know. Oh, you do? Defensively?
Oh,
who got the highest rated grade defensively?
Defensively?
Give me just...
Jonathan Allen.
I got the top three. Just give me one of the top three.
I go Jonathan Allen.
Jonathan Allen, not in there.
Holcomb.
Not in there.
Maybe one of the DBs. One of the DBs in there?
The highest rated was Daron Payne, got an 89.4.
All right, interior lineman.
And
I was
then Bobby McCain got an 83.2, and William Jackson III.
The DBs played
well. The DBs played better.
Yep.
I try not to give too much credence to the guys that didn't play that many snaps.
Remember, like, Jackson was just playing awful for 6 weeks, then he got
hurt.
He's
improved a little bit.
He's played better.
And so has Kendall Fuller.
Fuller's played better.
And I think Cam Curl's played great all season long.
But as Logan Paulson said yesterday on this show, they move Fuller. They move Fuller to the outside where he's been better.
Yeah, for sure. Jamin Davis, I think, had one of his best games. Now, he only got a 62.9, but I still think that might be one of his higher ratings. He played 90% of the snaps. Remember that. Let's go here to the offensive grades. Jason, you said you know who is the highest.
I was going to say Gibby.
Gibby, again, is weird. I don't know, maybe because of the yards per carry. Or whatever.
He was huge.
He was the 11th ranked offensive player.
I don't get that those grading systems.
A big fat offensive lineman.
No, Sheriff. Actually, John Bates got the highest grade offensive. I'm telling you, he is a beast blocker.
He's a good blocker.
Beast blocker, and he's adequate at catching balls.
I think
balls. That's
why they drafted him, because I don't think he put up a ton of numbers at Boise.
No, I think he caught like one ball per game.
Paltry.
Yeah, so that's why they drafted him.
But he can run okay, and he catches okay. You know, it's certainly better. Who was it that we had here for like 4 years? It was
Sprinkle.
Sprinkle.
Jeremy Sprinkle.
God bless him. But he just he contributed nothing in the past.
He might
year. Not
even be in the league anymore. Or he might be like on a practice squad.
Logan Thomas. Oh, it makes me sad. Makes my heart hurt, Valdez. He was the third highest rated player on offense at 72.5. Adam Humphreys, very highly rated. And Charles Leno. He rounds out the top five.
Ooh, my bad. Jeremy Sprinkle's on the Cowboys, according to Wiki.
Well, the Cowboys, who we have this week.
It's Dallas week.
Jason, let me see. Yesterday you said it was Dallas minus -5. This morning I see -4. So is the money trending a little bit in Washington's direction?
Yep.
I don't know. You checked FanDuel officially to give us the spread there. Washington, of course, 6-6. They'll take their four-game winning streak going into Week 14 against the Cowboys, who are 8-4. The total eyes. What are you seeing there? I want to give the official FanDuel totals instead of just the generic ones I see here in this
on
article.
On FanDuel, I see 48.5.
That's what I see.
Down to 4 on FanDuel.
Yeah, and 4. So
money line, Washington's +165. It's kind of juicy.
All right, if you want
the value.
I mean, I'm not going to lay 196 with the Cowboys. If I was going to play the Cowboys, I would just lay the 4 or buy the point down to 3. But 165, that's a good number there.
I mean, there's so many different trends. Let me see. Washington stats and trends. Washington has 5 wins against the spread in 12 games this season, so not great. They've covered the spread once this year when they're underdogs by 3.5 points or more. Washington games this season have hit the over just 5 of 12 times. So you might want to lean under. They average 20.5 points per game, which is somewhat, you know, kind of close to the Cowboys, who give up. You have any idea how many points the Cowboys give up per game, Cakes?
I'm going to say 23.5.
22.3, pretty close.
By the way, Dallas 9-3 at this year.
Ooh, they are.
9-3.
Not good.
6-6 6-6 on the totals, but 9-3 on the actual line.
If Washington scores more than 22.3 points, they're 3-1, Cakes. All right, who do you think has more takeaways, Washington or Dallas?
I'm going to say Dallas because Diggs has 10 picks or something.
Dallas. Nine picks.
Dallas has 23 takeaways. Shoot, I only have the giveaways. Washington has given away the ball 17 times. What, a bunch of
what's
fumbles.
What's the plus minus?
A bunch of fumbles. And, of course, what do you have, 8 or 9 Heineke picks? So that'll do it. Let me see if there's anything else here. Washington's covered the spread twice at home, Jason.
Okay.
3-3 overall this season at home. Trying to see if there's anything else that's like jumping out at you.
What's the over-under on Cowboys fans in the stands at FedEx Field? If I set the number at 15,000, do you go
over-under? I go over that.
I think I got to go over.
I might go closer to 30.
Jason, is this the number you mentioned in away games what Dallas is against the spread?
5-1, I think.
Yeah.
But again, that's haven't played that great in the last few weeks. You know, I mean, obviously on Thursday, had to beat the Saints.
Right.
But they picked off Hill 4 times. But before that, you know, they just haven't been on point. Yep. But I'm sure they'll get a lot of those guys back that were injured.
So we'll get into the numbers more as the week progresses. But that's just the little tease.
We'll continue to hit the skins with our next guest, Pete Haley, who covers the Washington football team for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us next here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined now by Pete Haley, covers the Washington football team for NBC Sports Washington. Hello, Pete. How are you? Have you recovered from your trip to Vegas?
I've been fresher in my life. I'll need another day or two as a first-time roommate itself out there. But I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate Drab fitting me in on a Tuesday as opposed to my normal Monday visit. Hmm.
I was a little bit surprised to read that that was your first venture out to Las Vegas. Why'd you wait so long? I know you like to gamble. I know you like to taste the nightlife. Why so long?
I've only recently become a kind of a sketchy, degenerate guy thanks to the influences of J.P. Finley and Mitch Tischler. Early on, like, I was a very straight and narrow kind of boring kid. I had my first beer in college. I didn't even drink in high school. I was a kind of borderline loser. And then they got me in their clutches and have shown me the light. And now I understand how fun blackjack is and sports gambling and drinking vodka Sprites and hanging out with a bunch of other weirdos. So I had some making up to do, and I'm glad I got out there.
Good. Is that a drink, a vodka Sprite?
I didn't even know that. That's a very common drink.
Vodka soda is the more common version. Vodka Sprite is what I lean to, just because it tastes so much sweeter and it makes my cavities ring, and it's really delectable. But I'm trying to transition to vodka sodas more as I've gotten a little bit older.
I mean, I'm a vodka Red Bull guy, so that's where I get the sweetness.
Sure. Listen, I had one of those.
Of course, you should have. It's a great drink.
I've been to Vegas, I got to imagine, 12 to 15 times, right? I've been there a lot. Well, I'm also old. But I've never been to this Circa spot, right? I think it just opened maybe in the last year or so. Were you guys actually staying there, or did someone recommend it? Because I didn't even know. It looked like they had like an outdoor sports book. Describe it for people.
Yes, so we were not staying there. We stayed at the Mandalay Bay, but someone we used to work with was set up out there now and has a cabana that he reserved. And about 25 just kind of chubby white guys, various Washington football team sports journalists, and all of our hangers-on made it there. And yes, they have an outdoor sports book called Stadium Swim. It is a giant pool mixed with TVs as high as you can crane your neck. And then there's an outdoor casino. I played blackjack shirtless and barefoot for a good hour and a half over there.
How great is that?
The pool was kind of too hot. It felt like a giant hot tub, about 120 degrees. I wanted refresh myself. But yeah, of all the stuff I saw, that was the one that put me on my butt the most. I was like, wow, this really is an unbeatable place.
All right, so obviously, four in a row, nobody saw this coming. I'm just going to keep picking against them every week. Why not? It's working for me. But what's jumped out at you so far, in particular on Sunday, what jumped out at you?
I think it's just the contributions they're getting from guys who are, you know, thought of to be basically nobody or people we didn't really know maybe a month or two ago. John Bates, in the absence of Logan Thomas, made what I think was one of the more underrated plays of that game, that first catch on the final drive. You always hear how the first play of a final drive has to be a positive one that just gets the ball rolling. He had a 9-yard catch from Taylor Heineke when Taylor broke the pocket that I thought was pretty crucial. Keith Ishmael, a fifth-round pick from last year, who was the first draft pick to be cut of that class. They had him on practice squad earlier in the year. He made it there after being released in camp, and now he's starting center. And they had a guy, Tyler Larson, a veteran who was only there to be used in emergency situations. So they turned to Keith, and he played quite well, I thought, too. Bobby McCain, someone who I felt like was pretty bad the first month and a half. He's really steadied himself there on the back end. So it's not just your John Allens and your Terry McLaurins. It's really deep down depth guys, not even the backups, but third stringers, fourth stringers who are contributing to this run. And just also what stood out to me afterward is how this team is really getting close. John Allen, not that he was like borderline moved to tears, but seemed really emotionally impacted by the win. And you see all the videos of guys just coming out with their arms around each other and celebrating. I think there's a real feeling of almost invincibility right now around the team, and it is couldn't be more different than the vibe about at the end of October.
Pete, you mentioned McLaurin. He had his worst stat line of the year, but I'm guessing like in the back, look, he wants to put up some numbers, obviously help the team, but he probably likes the fact that other guys are pitching in. It's not just the Terry McLaurin show where he's getting targeted 15 times and he feels like he has to be like a superhero week in, week out to lead the offense.
Yeah, Terry's not going to be Odell Beckham. You're not going to see his dad or anyone in his family post a video of Terry running open and Taylor Heineke ignoring him. He's the most team-first guy you'll ever meet. And I think we'll get that Terry explosion soon. He's a guy who tends to dip a little bit and then come back big time. But Adam Humphries is someone who is getting better as the year goes along and just seems to make every important catch every time Taylor looks to him. Curtis Samuel, we're still waiting to see him be fully unlocked. They tried to get him a little more involved, even on a pretty fancy-looking reverse that just kind of blew up in their face. But he's certainly got the skill set and hopefully is getting more into football shape. And DeAndre Carter, we all know what he's been like this year. So it's good to see that this offense can still move the ball if Terry's quiet. But I still don't think we've seen this thing totally click because, of course, it's sad to see Logan go out now, but Curtis being reintroduced, get Ricky Seals-Jones back, and have Terry be on his A game too, along with Gibson. But, you know, this running attack improvement coincides with Terry's numbers dipping, so it'd be nice to see them kind of both happen and have this offense truly reach like a pretty good potential.
Pete, during your answer, I just got a quick tingle because I was looking at Terry's numbers during the win streak. He's had three what I would consider bust games and one boom game. I mean, Does it set up any more perfectly for him to have a huge game against Dallas at FedEx Field with, you know, division lead on the line?
He's got Diggs, though.
Yeah, he's got Diggs. He'll be covering
him. I don't care about Diggs. He can roast anybody when he's on his game. Boom game for Terry McLaurin. I'm calling it right now. He goes over 100.
Just jinxed him.
And a touchdown.
All right.
I'm calling it. It's going to happen.
I'll bet you $25 he does not go over 100 in a touchdown.
How about we bet $10?
$10.
Let's meet in the middle.
$10. All right.
So he's got to go over 100 and score.
Terry's about to show up on the injury report with a mysterious toe injury on Wednesday and be out for like 2 weeks.
Pete, here's the thing. You can't fight off the tingle. When it hits, you just got to run with it.
$10 wager.
You just got to go with it. That's the way it works.
Pete, I wonder, you mentioned John Allen, and John Allen's been interesting this week because also he's kind of – standing on the table for Taylor, right? Kind of going out of his way, standing on the table for Taylor, which is kind of interesting because typically you'll hear guys, you know, they'll be like, you know what, whoever's back there, you know, I support, you know, whatever. He's like openly lobbying for Taylor to be the guy, not just now, but like in the future, which I find interesting.
Yeah, you have to think about the quarterbacks John Allen's played with. He's had Mark Sanchez for a couple weeks. He's had Josh Johnson, Case Keenum, Dwayne Haskins. Alex Smith was certainly more respectful, but still not that inspiring with his on-field play. He must be looking at Taylor Heinicke like he's Joe Montana right now. He's just so much better than what John's been around for the most part. I mean, he was there for Kirk's rookie year, but still, I mean, there's a lot of players on this team who've been around for really terrible quarterbacking, and Taylor Heinicke is just changing their a mind of what can be possible in Washington. And, you know, Taylor, I continue to, you know, I'm now ready to kind of fully commit to how this experience is going. A couple weeks ago, I was in that camp of, all right, he's done it for 2 weeks. Can he do it for three? And I guess drafting a quarterback this offseason would still be prudent. But if they start Taylor Heinicke week one of next year, I'm going to have no problem. He is incredibly fun to watch, really easy to root for. And he's good now. He's shown that he can handle 30 to 35 passes, be really accurate. And if the game is close in the fourth quarter, I have total faith that he's going to be able to move the ball and put them in position. For me on Sunday, it wasn't, oh, I'm stressed about whether Taylor can get them into field goal range. It was whether this random kicker we're all meeting for the first time can kick the ball through the upright. So Heinicke is one of the most – actually, I think he might be the most fun story I've covered in my relatively short time on the beat. And I just – every time the offense gets on the field, I'm kind of looking like, what's he going to do next? It's been a real treat, and it's cool to see John and other really established guys get behind him.
You know, I was, I guess, in the minority, but I really felt like, and apparently the stats guys say that I was wrong, that they should have gone for that fourth down when they decided to kick the field goal. I just thought it was too much time, although they only had one timeout. It worked out. Worked out great. Did it occur to you on any level that maybe they should go for it on fourth down, or did you like the call?
I thought they might have as well. It took me a second to realize Curtis Samuel didn't get the first down, and then when they came out on fourth, I was like, yeah, this makes sense with Ron. He's done this plenty of times this year, and why would they trust Brian Johnson to make a kick from 48? But in kind of hearing Ron talk about him on Sunday and Monday, this was a kicker that was on their radar a good amount. They wanted to invite him to training camp, but Brian went to Chicago instead of Washington. I guess he didn't want to battle with Dustin Hopkins. Chicago had a better spot. And then, of course, when he went to New Orleans, Ron said he was thinking about getting him when they wanted to move on from Dustin, but the Saints got him first. So as much as a free agent rookie kicker can be high on a team's board, it sounds like Brian Johnson is it for Washington. And clearly there's trust there between Ron and special teams coach Nate Katzer to have Brian go out there and make this kick. He's a very small kid. He looks like he's 17. And he's a relative unknown, but now he's got a little spot in Washington football team history. And I was leaning fourth and one, go for it as well with Gibson. You think it's pretty likely that they'd be able to get it and run the clock out more, but the choice worked out for him. And thank God the defense held in those final 30 seconds, because that was not an easy, like, all right, it's over. They had to fight and scratch and claw to make sure.
Yeah, but I think the analytics were on Coach Rivera's side for the decisions that he made. And I know that he doesn't always go by the analytics, but the analytics were that they were likely to stop him if they hit the field goal.
Just
they had a better chance going
out
for the field goal.
That,
right.
That was, I think, the critical factor, that they only had the
one. It's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee any which way you go. But
for sure. What is your best guess on attendance here with Dallas come to town? It's the most hype we've had here for a while around this point in the season. What do you think? I don't know. Maybe an extra 10,000 fans? I mean, you know, a lot of them will be Dallas, probably be half Dallas fans. But if they're averaging 50, do you think they can get 60?
I'm skeptical, and I don't want to be, but and it's a bit of a different situation because this team is more exciting. It's later in the year, but when they were 6-3 with Alex and they had the Texans come to town, the stadium was still pretty barren. Now I get it. Dallas
is the
all-time rival, and the Texans are a boring team that nobody cares about, and Taylor Heineke and all this stuff, and the team is, you know, four-game winning streak as opposed to just playing well kind of consistently. So there is going to be, I think, a slight bump, but I just, every time I think this is the game fans are going to turn out for, it just doesn't happen. And I think the stadium experience, being able to stay at home, and sort of this excitement we feel on Twitter and on the phone lines, like, it's definitely palpable, but there's still just too many other reasons, I think, to stay away. So I hope the stadium's great. I do think it's going to be more crowded, but there's going to be a lot more Dallas fans. It's going to be a fun environment, but I just don't think that stadium's ever going to be full-on packed again unless they host a home playoff game. There's a little part of me that I just don't think enough people care.
I wouldn't even bet
really
on a sellout
at
a playoff game, Pete.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily fight you on that. It hasn't been fun there in 5-6 years at least.
Well, this is going to be the premier Fox game. We've kind of talked about it. We went down the schedule. This will be the Joe Buck Aikman game, I think.
Should be.
Because all the other all the other Fox games are not as big as this one.
Yeah, no more fifth string announcer teams of random analysts you haven't heard of. They're not trying out Aqib Talib, giving him his debut here just to watch the Washington football team because 8 people are watching. If he screws up, who cares? So believe me, this is so much better than what was going on, and I hope the scene is really good and it's the place to be. But just from many expectations of mine in the past and having them be sort of underwhelmed, I'm not going to put my neck on the line and say it's going to be a really, really giant stadium.
They're 4-point dogs right now. Before we let you go, what is your tingle? Like, do they get to a 5-game winning streak?
I'm at the point where I care mostly about what this team is doing, not who the opponent is. I think they are so in a zone, and they just believe in Ron. They believe in their game plans. They believe in this formula that I'm not going to pick against them until they lose. I think they can definitely cover and win on Sunday. They just feel very, very special, very, very in rhythm. And I'm seeing looks in the eyes of these players at the podium after every game, especially Taylor Heineke.
Oh, yeah.
He seems so determined. So I'm going Washington money line. I don't even care about the 4-point spread.
Plus 165.
Look at that.
Pete,
that'll pay you.
It was great seeing you. You look like you've bounced back from your Vegas trip, and we will talk to you again soon, my friend.
Excellent. Thank you for having me. Enjoy Ron Rivera and Gary Williams. Hope I let off okay for those two.
Yes, you did. Of
Very
course
nice.
You did.
Thank
Not
you,
a
buddy.
Bad lineup to be part of.
Pete Haley.
See you guys.
Covers the Washington football team for NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, when we come back, we will do the Junkies Blitz, take a look around the NFL. PVI Office Furniture has got the largest showroom of both new and used furniture in Maryland, don't you know? So you're bound to find exactly what you're looking for. Desks, chairs, systems, you name it, they've got it, and it's in stock, too. Order today and get your furniture as early as next week. Absolutely no delays, whether you're working from home or furnishing an office space. PVI's knowledgeable staff is there to help you every step of the way. Don't wait. Don't sleep on it. Get out to Frederick today or visit PVIPVI.com. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to the Junks. Don't forget, Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team. He is going to be on the show at 8:25. We'll talk about the win in Vegas, four-game heater. It's Dallas week. There's lots to touch on with Ron. And Gary Williams is joining the show at 9:20. So we got a lot to get to here on the Junks. And right now it's time for the Junkies Blitz, presented by Offenbachers. Get your home ready for holiday entertaining, Ricks, with a gas fire pit, the highest quality outdoor furniture. Maybe a beautiful set of game room merchandise for your man cave or billiards room. Visit any of their four locations, or you can go to Offenbachers.com on the World Wide Web.
Take a look at the AFC standings, and the New England Patriots at 9-4 are atop the playoff race as the one seed after beating the Buffalo Bills 14-10. That is 7 in a row for the Patriots. They're 6-0 on the road, by the way. Haven't lost a roadie.
They're great
all season
and all,
long.
But I'll say it because nobody else will say it.
They're boring.
They're incredibly boring. I'm sorry. They're just defensive led, boring running game. Mac Jones he's good, but he's boring too. They're just a boring team. They just are.
If you were covering a Washington football team, Cakes, like legit, which you kind of are, would you rather have Mac Jones under center? Now, I understand he's younger, but I mean, all things being equal, yeah. Or Taylor. I mean, to watch, you got to go Taylor.
I think it's basically a coin flip. But yeah, Taylor can do things with his legs that Mac Jones will never be able to do. I mean, he's basically a statue in the pocket.
It's a perfect system for him, for Mac Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, he may never
the ball a lot.
He may never be a guy who's going to throw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns.
Short to intermediate passing.
But he's going
to
get coached up.
Heavy run game.
They're going to have great defense, obviously, they did last night, do this year. But
AFC,
I don't know. He makes good decisions.
AFC playoff picture. So you got the Patriots as your one seed right now. Titans are the two, sliding. Injuries.
Hard time believing in them without Derrick Henry. I know that they're trying to piecemeal it together with Deontay Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard, but
Ravens are the three seed. They're coming off a loss. They went for two against the Steelers. And when we had Jason Lock on four on last week, he kind of was saying that Baltimore a little fraudulent in that their touchdown differential has them as the 10th best team in the AFC. I don't think you can discredit. They find a way to win a lot of close games. They happen to lose this one, but they're your three seed. The Chiefs are the four. Rest of the playoff picture: Chargers, Bengals, Bills. Right now, those would be your seven teams.
Watch
in.
Out for the Colts.
Colts are the 9. They're 7-6.
I think they were
Steelers.
I think they started out 2-5, and now they're 7-6.
Did Valdez yesterday comment on the going for two? Were you pro that or against that? I mean, I know that he likes
to be Matt Valdez.
I was pro. I think the analytics had it as a 50-50 shot. I don't know why. But I said that Harbaugh in the presser was going for two because Humphrey was injured on the last drive. and they were literally out of corners.
And speaking of Humphrey, he's going to be
the game right there, if
out
possible.
For the year. Humphrey, yeah. season-ending right pec
equal,
muscle.
They kick the extra point and go into play for overtime.
Well, I'm happy they went for two.
No, but I'm saying all things being equal, right, do you think they typically they would have?
I think they typically would have done that. But if you watch the game, the offense was just
poo.
Was awful when they had to move Phillips over to tackle. They could barely move the ball. The defense was getting torched, and then they were down a corner. So if they would have gotten the ball, they probably would have went three and out. And then if the Steelers got the ball, they probably would have drove right down the field.
So Lamar's getting some criticism of late, right? Because he's just going through a tough stretch, or no?
He's definitely going through a tough stretch when they're doing the cover zero blitzing. They got to figure out a way to get the ball to the hot routes, mm-hmm. But the line.
What's he doing? Holding the ball too long?
He's holding the ball too long. He's not seeing the hot routes.
He's taking a lot of sacks. He's sacked seven times in that game.
He's taking, I think he's up to like 35 sacks this year.
Why isn't he just taking off? There's just no lanes to take off.
I can't see the entire field, but the line's pretty banged up and awful. That's not helping.
His last five games, he's been sacked 5, 3, 4, 2, and 7 times.
And look at the interceptions. He's got 13 interceptions with just 16 touchdown passes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So almost 1-1. But Marlon Humphrey, that's a huge loss. Valdez, you guys have lost 7 starters this year.
It's a lot.
It's just one of those years.
I believe the only remaining starter in the secondary this year is Chuck Clark.
Correct.
Massive game in Cleveland as Baltimore travels to Cleveland this week.
And a weird scheduling quirk. Cleveland is playing Baltimore after a bye week when they played Baltimore.
That is weird. Playing them back-to-back with the bye week sandwich. So you guys lose Marlon Humphreys. The Chargers' leading receiver, Keenan Allen, he was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list on Monday. His availability for their game on Sunday against the Giants is now in doubt.
Yeah. So that means the targets for Mike Williams will go up, and then Guyton will come in and he'll get some targets.
Well, that's one. If I'm Brandon Staley, I'm gonna piecemeal it without Keenan Allen and think that I elevate. You know, Jalen Guyton gets more targets.
Yeah,
I throw more to Eckler, and we're gonna beat the Giants without.
Well,
Keenan
they could beat the Giants without half their roster.
And it looks like Daniel Jones might not play again, so it might be another Mike Glennon start.
Well, Glennon's in concussion protocol.
Oh well. Who are they going
to
start then?
They went out and signed Jake Fromm. I don't know. I'd have to talk to Sean about
they literally
the Glennon
just signed
thing.
Here's my advice.
Fromm's starting.
Did they already announce that?
I believe so.
Get the Chargers defense.
That sucks.
And start them in fantasy this week. If you're still alive in your fantasy leagues, start the Chargers defense.
Correct. And bet heavy on the Chargers. Let me see what that number is.
First start.
Let me see what that number is. God, you know what? It might be off the board.
Probably at this point.
Speaking of guys who won't play, it looks like Daniel Jones, who has banged up neck, is unlikely to play against the Chargers, as you say. Matt Rhule on the hot seat in Carolina.
He's got no quarterback.
Mike Florio said, okay, he fires Joe Brady, his offensive coordinator,
right.
And our pal Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk said, head coach next.
Who said that?
Florio.
Well, if you think that the owner of the Panthers, whose name is David Tepper, who's a hedge fund billionaire, do you think he cares about paying off Matt Rhule's salary, whatever's left on it, and bringing in a new guy?
Hmm.
He couldn't care less about that.
It's just so interesting, though, because Rhule was so hot a year ago.
Yeah.
You know? It's amazing how quickly.
True, but he's got to have a quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't sour on him necessarily.
I think I read a story about Tepper, who is a billionaire. He bought his old boss's house, I guess the guy who fired him, and he knocked it to the ground and built like a $40 million palace where his old boss's house stood.
Right.
This is a big F you to the guy who fired him. So he doesn't care about paying Matt Rhule. Doesn't care at all.
No, I get it. I mean, you're not going to win games with Sam Darnold and Cam Newton. You know, P.J. Walker.
They're going to be
not going to win games.
They're going to be in the quarterback market.
Of course,
this offseason.
Again.
Is Cam healthy to go this week?
Yeah, they say he's probably going to start.
Yeah,
but Brady was obviously the hot guy because he was at LSU. Now he had a billion pros at LSU. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he wasn't a good coach.
That helps a lot.
But he apparently they were only averaging 2.1 points per game in the third quarter, which was next to last in the league.
Right.
Houston was the only team below them. So the halftime adjustments offensively were poo. and Rule said, I want to run the ball more, and Brady wants to throw the ball more. I don't know why you'd want to throw with Cam.
No.
But so he just said, yeah, I got to make a change.
Wouldn't be surprised.
And the rumor
at all,
is that he's going to go back to LSU. That's the rumor.
Wouldn't be surprised at all if Carolina makes a play, if he can get his legal issues resolved. Deshaun Watson seems like a perfect place for him to wind up.
Who knows when he's going to play?
Yeah,
again.
We don't know.
But there is no movement on that.
Heard nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Time of year now where college football players declare for the NFL draft. Stud from Oregon, Kayvon Thibodeau.
What position?
He's a defensive lineman.
He's an edge rusher. He's stud.
He has declared for the draft. Oregon will play in the Alamo Bowl against Oklahoma.
Yep. Well, he's just the first of many guys who will say, I'm
he's
out.
He's skipping the bowl game. Yeah.
If Washington decides that they just don't, that they like the quarterbacks, but they don't think they need to take one in the first round, not worthy, whatever. If they go a different position in round one, what position would you target?
Wide receiver.
Yeah, I might go wide receiver.
I think that was my instinct. Receiver.
Just add more talent for Taylor.
But I wouldn't hate another linebacker.
Maybe a linebacker to stud deep. Imagine if we had a legit shutdown corner. You know what? We need help in a lot of places.
And maybe a safety.
I like Curl. Maybe I like Curl though, but I play opposite Curl.
Yeah, the kid Hamilton from Notre Dame. He's going to be a top. The kids you should watch when you watch the semifinal are Kobe Bryant. And now I think they're going to lose to Alabama, but Ahmad Gardner and Kobe Bryant are two NFL corners for Cincinnati. They may both go in the first round, so you might want to, if you want a corner, you might want to watch those guys because they'll be drafted pretty high.
By the way, Mac Jones only threw three passes in the Patriots win. And, of course, it was snowing there before the game. Terrible conditions. Apparently, an old tweet of his went viral yesterday.
Oh.
In 2015. It wasn't political or anything.
Oh, okay.
2015, he tweeted, he had never seen snow. Oh. Ever.
Where did he grow up?
Was he a Georgia kid?
I don't know. It's got to be somewhere in the South, right? He's never seen snow.
I mean, it even snows in Georgia sometimes.
Sometimes, sure.
I don't Jacksonville, know, Florida is where he was born.
It definitely doesn't snow there.
Well, that makes sense.
He played high school football in
He's
Jacksonville,
He's also never
Florida.
Seen an abdominal muscle.
Not that That I is have. True. I've never seen one either. Yeah. I mean, how would you know? All right, when we come back, we will pivot away from the NFL. We will dive into EB's entertainment page. And don't forget, head coach Ron Rivera of the Washington football team, he's going to join us coming up at 8:25.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.